A reading from the book of Joshua. Joshua gathered together all the tribes of Israel at Shechem, summoning their elders, their leaders, their judges, and their officers. When they stood in ranks before God, Joshua addressed all the people. If it does not please you to serve the Lord, decide today whom you will serve, the gods your fathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose country you are now dwelling. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. But the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord for the service of other gods. For it was the Lord, our God, who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, out of a state of slavery. He performed those great miracles before our very eyes and protected us along our entire journey and among the peoples through whom we passed. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God.
Verbum Domini.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives should be subordinate to their husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of his wife, just as Christ is head of the church, he himself the Savior of the body. As the church is subordinate to Christ, so wives should be subordinate to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over for her to sanctify her, cleansing her by the bath of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So also husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one hates his own flesh, but rather nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak in reference to Christ and the church.
Verbum Domini.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, or the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? you have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. Verbum Domini. Over the years, I've listened to many people, heard them out, and of these I'm talking about, they cannot believe in the church's teaching on the Eucharist, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, his real presence there. And this is difficult for them. You know, some of us, you know, we were born in cradle Catholics. Others have come to convert in the church and have found this teaching, and it made sense to them. But to some, they still have trouble believing. And that's what we're hearing of in this passage here in John, that there were some of Jesus' disciples whom that this just did not make any sense. No. Why is he saying this? No, is he going to give us his flesh and blood? And no, what does this mean? How is he to do that? Yet Jesus is what he's saying to them, what he's saying to all of us, is that the ways of Jesus, the ways of God, as we hear in the prophet of Isaiah, are much higher than our ways. No, and that the thoughts of God are much higher than our thoughts. That the Lord is saying that he, who is the God of the impossible, can do anything. And that here what's happening is that they're not looking with prayerful eyes, with the mind of God. So here, as Jesus is pointing out to us, we have these many disciples of the Lord who followed him. You know, there were the 12 that were the closest to him. And as it's saying here, some had problems with this. And there was also many others around. Now, at the beginning of this chapter, John chapter 6, we see Jesus who performs the miracle of loaves and fishes. Following that, there is another miracle of Jesus walking on water. Now, and then afterwards, they follow Jesus and confront him once again. No, Jesus sees them and he says, you're come after me, not because you are looking for a sign, but because you had your fill of the loaves and fishes. No, and in him saying this here is that, see, he says that because you've had your fill of the loaves here. So what's going on here is that they're thinking more in earthly terms on what satisfies the body. And so here is their own hunger, their own human hunger, you know, acting up here. You know, that this is the flesh here. No, and so they want more, they want to be fed more. So then Jesus says, you seek me not because you saw a sign, you had your fill of the loaves and fishes, and then Jesus tells them, he says, do not labor for the food that perishes, but the food that endures to eternal life. And then he says, well, Jesus, they again later, a little later, ask for a sign. Now, what can we do to do the works of God? You know, give us some kind of sign. He says, the work of God is that you should believe in the one you sent him. Who sent him? You know, and then they go on and says, well, our fathers, you know, ate manna in the desert. It says, what are you going to do? And Jesus with this says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread that comes down from the Father. You know, and he who eats this bread and drinks this blood will have eternal life. You know, and they want to give us this bread always. So then he goes into the deeper meaning of what what this bread is, his own flesh and blood. And this is what they have a hard time receiving. How could we eat his flesh and blood? No, it just doesn't make any sense to them. And you think about it as like these people who Jesus is speaking to, you know, many of them have had a history amongst them in the Old Testament, looking back on what has happened before. They see these great signs and wonders, you know, and here, you know, Jesus is now giving them something even greater than these signs and wonders. He's giving them himself. For what reason? So that they can be like God, so that we all can be like God. But yet they still cannot fully understand. And, you know, for many of us, and even maybe for us who are many active believers, we could have even sometimes a hard time with this. Is that, you know, often, you know, we're looking for some kind of experience when we receive the body and blood of Christ, when we go before the Lord in Eucharistic adoration. And we're thinking, well, you know, that we'll feel something, you know, that we'll have some kind of emotional type of experience or something. And it doesn't always happen that way. See, when we come to receive the body and blood of Christ, you know, we are to truly believe. We are to be educated on what the Holy Eucharist is. That is a requirement, that we know whom we are receiving, that we receive it in faith, that we receive with some anticipation that the Lord is coming inside of us. And that at the same time that we receive it without mortal sin. And why is that? Is that, see, when we are in mortal sin, then we are distracted. Our flesh is now pointed toward that direction. It's hungering for something else besides the Holy Eucharist. It is aching for more. It has been stunned by the evil of sin. You know, and that the body often aches for more at that time. So what do we need? We need the healing remedy. We need that comes from the sacrament of penance to be forgiven, which is through the blood of Jesus. And that is necessary so that we can see now with spiritual eyes. And so here, as Jesus is calling us here to closer, always closer to himself. No, it is important for us to not approach this with just like a carnal approach, a fleshly approach, like what's in it for me. No, here, most of the time when we receive Holy Communion, we're not feeling all this sensation or sort of like a firework experience inside of us. You know, when we receive the body and blood of Christ, you know, here is Jesus who has sacrificed himself, who has given himself to us for love of us. And this sacrament, of course, nourishes us in charity. It helps raise us up so that we can be more conformed in body and soul and mind to Jesus. So it's about transformation. And when we think about transformation, it's not always something that feels good. No. Here at this Holy Mass, we call it the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. You know, Jesus, when he died on the cross for us, he did it with such purity, with such love, the purest of love, agape love. And that this was so pure, so perfect kind of love, that it is perpetuated for all time and eternity. And then so here, you know, at this sacrifice, Jesus gives himself again in an unbloody manner so that we can receive his own flesh and blood and therefore be raised up. See, but this his own body and blood and just the grace of the sacraments in general is to help us in our transformation so that we can become more Christ-like, so that we can live this human life like Jesus. Here in the Word of God, he says, "My words are spirit and life." Here is the Word that has become flesh. No, Jesus in the flesh. Jesus is man, fully God, fully man, the divine person living in this world. He says we live a life like his. And we can look to this because we have the same life. And it is through the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist that helps us to live more like Jesus. But yet it also in this sacrament is that so that we can suffer and die like Jesus. And that is all the graces given to us. And so here with all the sacraments, and this sacrament of the Holy Eucharist helps us to live, suffer, and die like Jesus. But then yet, what's happening here, as we approach this in faith and purity and love, there is a transformation. And in this transformation, there is a rising in the glory of the Lord. So here, you know, again, we have these disciples that just can't understand, is that they're approaching this not with spiritual minds, with the mind of God, knowing that God can do all things, that God can do the impossible. They're thinking in human terms, and so they go away. And for us to approach the Eucharist, we approach the Eucharist, we approach Jesus as the God of the impossible, the God who's calling me to himself so that I can be like him in the world. And it's important for us to know that. You know, here they're looking for a sign. No, and what is ultimately the sign? Is you. Is to be Christ-like out in the world. Now, I have a little testimony here from somebody I know, a good friend of mine. You know, many years ago, he was, trying to be a good Catholic Christian. He got involved in a young adult group. Many of the people in the young adult group were very, very bright, very gifted, able to articulate the faith well. He couldn't do that as good as they were. And, you know, they seemed to pray better than him. But his priest told him, he says, "You should visit the Blessed Sacrament often. Just go and sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament." You're thinking like 35, 40 years ago. There wasn't, like now, I mean, we've had this Eucharistic revival, but I would say in the last maybe 20 years, is we've seen more Eucharistic adoration chapels, you know, in throughout this time. But to go back 35, 40 years ago, it just was not as popular as it is now. There wasn't as much of this type of devotion. So then he goes, and he just goes and he feels absolutely nothing. You know, showing up to these young adult groups, showing up to the prayer groups, often feeling that he has nothing to contribute. No, and then over time, he's still going, you know, on his way to work, stopping at the church, on his way home from work, stopping at the church, but yet feeling nothing. And he's thinking to himself, "I'm not feeling anything," but he can't help going and just being there And one thing he does admit that it is peaceful. But he's going there and letting the Lord work. He's not saying much, maybe, you know, doing a few Our Fathers or Hail Marys there. You know, maybe speaking from his heart. So the years go by, you know, and you know, people start to comment on him and says that, "Man, you're such a good person. You're such a holy person." And there he is, continuing to be active, you know, in the church. You know, people are inspired by just the way the guy lives, by what he says. And then he comes in contact with, through the years, with some of these people, young people he was involved with, and many of them had fallen away. But yet he was still going. Why? Because he had faith that God was doing something while he was there sitting before Jesus in the tabernacle. That God was working on him. He didn't understand what was happening, but because his priest said that Jesus is there and Jesus is loving you there. And so by doing this, you know, for many years, persevered, even persevering till this day, because of Jesus' presence in the Holy Eucharist, his real presence there, which is for all of us. And so, brothers and sisters, is that, yeah, we may not have these great experiences. We may not even fully understand all this teaching. In time, God will show you. But it is to be approached with faith and love, with gratitude for this great gift of ours, of Jesus, who's given himself for us. And that as we approach him in this faith, that he'll do such great, great things inside of us. This transformation, this helping us to become more like him, so that we go forth, being a light of the world, so that it is no longer us living, but Jesus Christ living within us. God bless you all.